Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brandon, I'm a big Star Trek fan, and incidentally, I was a friend of Hilary Bader back in the
day. Oh, yes, yeah.
Sadly, she died.
Yes, she did. She did.
Right. My question is, the original Star Trek did have some episodes that discussed religion indirectly, I guess.
Yes.
But I think that the Mr. Spock character might have been the first atheist character on TV. He was clearly not a believer. In one episode, you may recall, he had the comment, "You, sir, may believe in angels. I do not."
That's correct.
And I'm just wondering if Spock was maybe the first atheist in the series or in TV, and maybe an inspiration for you and some of your episodes.
Well, although it was not articulated on the series very often in the 40-some years the show's been on the air, here and there, everyone is an atheist. Every single character, every person on Earth. I mean, it was very important to Gene. And he didn't want religion discussed amongst any of the human characters or crew members on the various ships. Spock was really the only guy who ever kind of came out and said, "I don't believe in, you know, superstitious stuff." And he may have been the first atheist character on network television. I don't, possibly the only one. I'm not immediately aware of any others. And when religion was discussed on the show, it generally was discussed via alien species who believed in weird stuff. So it was always an oblique way of exploring those issues. But the humans would never profess to any beliefs like that.
Brennan, Geesley here,
yes.
Right in the back.
My old friend Geesley, hi.
Arthur, you're responsible for your condition today.
Yes.
And I have a question, because I've read interviews with the Star Trek writers, including yourself, where it's mentioned that the framework of the series, where you're not supposed to have this conflict between the humans, where they don't have these problems,
right,
like in other TV shows. And this sometimes made it difficult for them to write episodes for the stories.
Yeah, well, again, that was important to Gene Roddenberry, that human beings, they have conflict. You know, they'll argue about things, but that generally speaking, we've solved all of our basic problems. People, when you've solved the fact that everybody on Earth can eat, and everybody has shelter, and the population is under control, and everything's fine, you're just going to argue about, you know, more superficial things. And the question is, was it difficult to come up with dramatic stories and conflicts? No, not at all. That's what the aliens were for. Those were always, they would run into trouble. They didn't really need to be bickering amongst themselves, so there's never a problem.
Okay, thank you so much for your speech. I enjoyed it a lot because I'm not a Star Trek fan, and I've seen a few episodes, and I must say I didn't really enjoy them all that much. And I think it's because you can hang me later. Just hear me out. I enjoyed watching them, but mostly because they're funny in a tacky sort of way. I never thought about it deeper, and I guess it's a problem of
suspension. I'm sweating profusely right now.
It's a problem of suspension of disbelief, and it's my problem. But I think it'll get better after this, and I'll be sure to look deeper into the whole thing. But do you think you'll be able to sell Star Trek to younger generations in the light of, well, the fact that we have much better special effects these days, and, you know,
less tacky TV shows. Yes.
Yes.
Well, look, I have to confess to you that I'd never, when I started working on the show in 1990, I'd never seen Star Trek myself, and I thought it was kind of tacky. But you have to remember, I think you're thinking of the original series. There have been 4 subsequent television shows and 11 feature films, and they're very sophisticated in terms of their special effects, and we have always hoped to reach younger viewers with the new series. In fact, one of the later shows, a show called Star Trek Voyager, is far more popular in Europe than any of the other shows because it came later and it reached a younger group of people. I think the more important point you made is that Star Trek is a somewhat estranging phenomenon, because it's been around so long, you kind of feel like, how could I ever catch up with this weird? And people are weird who like it, and you know, so there is a stigma attached to Star Trek. You know, that's
yes.
A bigger hurdle. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Cody. I'm also a Star Trek fan. I wanted to.
Yeah, I saw you shooting her dirty looks a moment.
yeah, I want to ask you about Q, the character Q, the omniscient, omnipotent.
Yes.
Godlike creature. If he is included in Star Trek, doesn't it make Star Trek a polytheistic mythology?
No. Because although the character is godlike, I think in that his powers appear to be omnipotent.
Yes.
He was a deeply flawed character, and that was the point. He was a creature who, particularly as his character evolved, you realized how utterly kind of wretched and human he really was. And if he did represent, in Gene Roddenberry's mind, who created the character, God, then he was really making quite a scathing commentary on what a god might be.
But also Chakotay in Voyager, he was an Indian and followed Indian beliefs.
Yes.
He was still human and he was religious. How can that be?
Well,
how come?
He was. I would not categorize him as religious. I wrote a lot for that character, and I was very careful. To what he was doing was adhering to his culture and certain ritualistic aspects of his culture, but he was not. He never talked about a god, and he never talked about any of that. If you take a close look, there's a big difference in what he was doing versus stating any kind of belief in a religion.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a religious man.
Okay, you clarified very well.
But I can understand why you would think that.
Yeah.
There's a point that Julius Sweeney has made many times about religion's value as a cultural phenomenon, and so many of the things that are appealing about religion beyond just the cut and dried. It's not true, which we all would agree on.
Yes.
But there are aspects to culture that one can adhere to or enjoy and not necessarily believe in.
Thank you.
The tenets behind it. Yeah. Sorry about the long-winded answer.
It was well answered. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Josh Kuczynski.
Hello.
Thank you for Star Trek. I'm older than the young lady here, so that I like the first series of Star Trek. I don't know if I describe myself as a fan, but I did enjoy it very much. And the only thing I'd like to just put in, which is something fairly obvious, I suppose, is that as an atheist, I'm quite convinced that the Bible stories, and for that matter all stories, are written by human beings. And as such, I just happen to think that the first series of Star Trek is better than the Bible.
I wish, yeah.
Hi, my name is Vanilla Green, and I had a question about the ways in which or not the right-wing religious communities might be monitoring Star Trek, because I know it does aggressively so for The Simpsons.
Yes.
You go online, you can see all kinds of sort of scrutinizing, monitoring, evaluating shows.
Yes.
Does it do that for Star Trek?
Yes. We've been aware over the years of certain groups, not just that. I couldn't tell you exactly what groups, but grumbling that it's a secular show, but more specifically, religious groups asking why there is no religion being portrayed on the show. But even beyond that, Star Trek is a funny thing because it's been around for so long, and it was at one point certainly very, very successful globally. You get a lot of groups wanting to be on the show because here's this future, a kind of all-inclusive future, which is one of Gene Roddenberry's philosophies, you know. So people want to be included. So it wasn't just religious groups that wanted to say, hey, why are you not talking about the Bible on the show? There were Nazi guys, skinhead type people wanting to, why are we not on the show? The most vocal group were gay rights groups wanting to show same-sex partners on the show, and it just kind of got to the point where, who do we serve and who do we not? But certainly we were never going to put religion on the show, ever.
My name is Dragan, I'm an atheist from Germany, and I can tell you my brother and his wife, they really enjoy to be trekkies, so to say, and they regularly meet and also with scientific educated people and discuss the probabilities and the new technologies who are we learn about in Star Trek. And my question is, are there people from Star Trek who make the film, have they been attacked by maybe religious fanatics? And the second question is, how spread is the film in the world? Is it really played everywhere, or are there countries who said, we don't want this kind of film, there is no possibility for us?
Well, no, but I don't know of any attacks by religious people because of the show's underlying atheistic slant. But then again, that slant is pretty muted. I mean, people have never come out and said on the show, we don't believe in God. It's certainly a part of the show, but we've never, no one's ever gotten aggressive. And yes, Star Trek is everywhere in the world, but I'm not aware of anyone not accepting it, because the philosophies behind it, which include diversity, reason and blah blah blah, all the wonderful things are great things. It just happens to be a very secular show as well, but it's presented in a way, it's entertainment, and it's presented in an enlightened way. It's not presented in any kind of obnoxious way. So no one's really ever rejected Star Trek that I'm aware of. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I don't think so.
Brandon, like the gentleman before me who said that the Star Trek is better than the Bible. I agree, but sadly the Bible wasn't canceled for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
If you remember the first episode, the original series, if I'm not mistaken, Gene Roddenberry encountered a lot of opposition from NBC for having a multicultural kind of cast.
Yes.
The Uhuru character, Sulu, and of course even Spock.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted something like The Forbidden Planet.
Yes.
You know, an all-white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male cast.
Yes.
And he stuck to his guns.
Yes, he did.
And I think that show, apart from the religion aspect, really was like a humanistic, the first humanistic show
on
TV.
Well, it was the first. I'm talking about the religious aspects because of why we're here today. But the show was very groundbreaking, as were the subsequent shows, for many reasons. And they all were humanistic reasons. And I think it's one of the things that has been so appealing to so many people about the show.
Ryan, with the exception of my friend on the right, every young atheist I know is a Star Trek fan and a science fiction fan. And I'm curious about the muted message. I know you have worked with Julia to make a script we hope is produced of Letting Go of God. Are there plans, do you have plans or ideas or fantasies about doing work that is more explicitly non-believing?
Well, privately and personally, yes. I mean, that's why I'm here. I've contributed nothing to science except being a science fiction writer, and I've contributed nothing to atheism except just being one. But coming here is an important first step for me personally to being more active somehow in promoting critical thinking. And really, for me, that's the biggest thing, because if you understand critical thinking and the scientific method, you can't possibly go down that path. So I personally want to get involved with doing this stuff. In terms of television projects, I will do everything I can to get this, I guess what you would call alternative viewpoint, and it is an alternative viewpoint in the world today, in there, but it's not always easy, you know, because most of America, anyway, finds it offensive to be an atheist for some strange reason. So I'll do my best, you know.
Well,
just a little bit of when that first, I'm right here, except I bump my head if I stand
I
up.
I see it.
technology, when I started watching Star Trek, that was one of the automatic opening doors, I think was the first program that showed it. Of course, I was disappointed later on that found out it was a lever-acted door, where we always thought they walk through the doors, they automatically open up.
There was a dude with a rope.
There was
and
a dude
never,
with a rope.
And that never
but
changed.
That idea, I think it was probably the first technology. But when some of us were growing up, some folks might not know, the option was Star Trek or Leave It for Beaver or Father Knows Best. Star Trek, I didn't think about this till later on, really was dealing with ethical questions, morality. It was an in-depth program that was much different than what was going on in the kind of like follow the order of what's going on type of television.
Yes.
And it was a whole radically very homogenized television programming, and that really broke a lot of barriers. And it is hokey to go back and look at it now, but when that came out, that was a technology advanced program.
Yes.
In that day.
And it remained so until very recently when it's since taken a break, and there won't be a new Star Trek show for a while. But kind of circling back to the question this woman answered or asked, we were able to explore so many different kinds of stories and philosophies, and I was able to get some of my own atheist tales in there. There was an episode of Voyager where there was a character who was religious. He's an alien. And he dies, and he remains dead, because it's the future, for like 18 minutes. And they're able to revive him, and he comes back, and there was nothing. And he realizes that his whole religious belief that he was going to see, and I created a whole mythology for him, everything that he thought he would see when he died, his family members, the ancient tree of Lokonga or whatever, it wasn't there. And there is nothing. And it was a story of a guy who loses his faith and realizes that, it's very depressing for a while, but he comes through to a place like Dawkins was talking about, appreciating life. So we were able to do a lot of wonderful stories that you just would not see on most TV shows.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm Stan from Norfolk in England.
Hi.
I agree with you that atheism needs a mythology, which we haven't got. And if I understand you correctly, you're suggesting that Star Trek becomes the atheist's mythology. To take it further, are you suggesting that the children in schools, instead of having Bible lessons, have Star Trek lessons? do they go to Star Trek reading lessons?
Yeah.
It just occurred to me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are worse things. I mean, Star Trek is often used. Over the years, I've heard many, many stories of teachers using Star Trek particular episodes to illustrate a lesson or some point. There are courses taught at universities, I know in America, called the Philosophy of Star Trek at some major universities, the Science of Star Trek. Star Trek is used in the classroom in both lower and higher education.
So your answer is yes.
But as a mythology, I'm just throwing it out there as something kind of interesting that I've never really thought about before. And because it really is like an ideal world. It's like we're sitting here today talking about what are we going to do? What are the things we can do? What are the different ways of Dawkins talk about consciousness raising? We don't need it. But how do we convey this? Is it hopeless? And then you have this long-lived series, which is like, well, here's what your end result is. And it's like, and in that regard, it is the perfect mythology for atheism. But what do you do with it? I don't know. How do you take this minuscule revelation? I don't know. I don't know what to do with it.
I guess there are a series of secular humanist summer camps in the United States and Canada called Camp Quest. There's one in Minnesota where I live. And we have a program called, one of the presentations is Science Fiction and Ethics. And last year we used a Star Trek episode from the first season where you had a race on a planet where half their face was white and half was black. And, you know, corresponding race where the colors were mixed the other way. And just to teach the lesson of how ridiculous racism was. So that's an example of Star Trek being used for ethical teaching.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that is a really, that was, it's pretty hokey, that whole half black, half white thing. But it was groundbreaking at the time, and there have been many episodes since that have explored similar, virtually every issue you can imagine after over 700 episodes. So there's kind of a Star Trek episode for most things.
I think we'll have to end this session now and go on to our next speaker.